Welcome to The Deep Dive, your shortcut to being truly well-informed. Today, we're unpacking something quite fascinating. It's this paradox, really, how an institution like the Vatican, so ancient, so, you know, spiritually profound, is grappling with a very modern, very earthly problem, a deep financial crisis. Our sources actually call it a financial black hole. Yeah. So we're going to dive into what that really means for, well, a sovereign city-state that's also the spiritual HQ for over a billion Catholics worldwide.
It is a truly intricate situation, and you're absolutely right. It's way more than just balancing the books. The financial stability or lack thereof, it directly impacts the Vatican's ability to function, its global reach, its effectiveness in fulfilling its core mission. So our aim in this deep dive is really to synthesize the sources you've provided, give you the clearest possible picture of, you know, the history behind these challenges, where things stand now, and crucially, this potential path forward, especially focusing on this figure our sources mention, Pope Leo, who seems central to the proposed solutions.
Okay, so let's start right there, this black hole idea. What are we actually talking about? Our sources paint a picture of, well, significant financial trouble. It stems from longstanding debts, a history of, frankly, mismanagement, and this persistent lack of transparency. We're hearing that current funding, you know, the usual income-like donations, it's just not cutting it anymore, not enough to cover the liabilities. So what does that mean in practical terms for Vatican's global work, its charities?
Well, the implications for the mission are profound, really profound. When you have this perceived lack of clarity, this murkiness in the finances, it just erodes trust. And it's not just, you know, financial institutions getting nervous. It fundamentally shakes the confidence of the clergy, and maybe most importantly, the faithful themselves. I mean, imagine trying to fundraise when donors are asking, where is my money really going?
Oh.
So this urgent need for reform, it isn't just some internal accounting exercise. It hits the Vatican's moral authority, its ability to operate worldwide. It could cripple vital programs.
Yeah, that makes total sense. So really get this. We need to understand the Vatican's unique financial setup. It's quite something. It's both this independent city-state and the global center of the church. So it has all these different income streams coming in. We're talking global donations, parish collections, investments, significant real estate holdings. And not just in Vatican City, apparently. Our sources mentioned properties in some, well, very affluent areas globally. And then there's Peter's Pence, right? That big fund collected worldwide specifically for the Pope's charitable work.
Exactly. And those assets, the investments, the real estate, they're primarily managed by APSA. That's the Administration of the Patrimony of the Apostolic See. Now, APSA's job is supposed to be safeguarding the Vatican's financial stability. But our sources flag it as a major point of concern, mainly due to, well, opaque asset management and potential conflicts of interest, which obviously impacts the church's financial health. Then on the spending side, think about the costs. Maintaining institutions, supporting churches globally, social justice projects, salaries, preserving all that incredible art and history, funding missions. And yeah, we have to mention the IOR, the Institute for the Works of Religion, the Vatican Bank. Its stated purpose is managing assets for charity, ensuring integrity. But historically, it's been caught up in controversies, transparency issues, accountability problems. It often becomes a symbol of these financial struggles.
Right. And history really seems to be echoing here. The sources underline that this isn't the first time the Vatican's faced serious money troubles. In fact, relying so heavily on donations always made it kind of vulnerable, didn't it, to economic shifts and things like that. And there was this really critical moment during Pope Leo III's time, late 19th century. This was right after the Vatican lost its temporal power, you know, with Italy unifying in 1870. It basically lost huge amounts of land and revenue overnight.
Indeed. And Pope Leo XIII, facing what could have been, well, financial ruin for the church, he did something quite radical for the time. He didn't just, you know, tighten the belt. He essentially revolutionized Vatican finance. He shifted from just receiving donations to actively building a more structured system. Our sources highlight these really rigorous efforts he made to stabilize things, investing actively, diversifying income, trying to make the church more self-sufficient financially. It was a bold move, laid some important groundwork, though clearly not perfectly. And the irony is, you know, despite those early reforms, fast forward to the later 20th century, especially under Pope John Paul II, you see a return to serious mismanagement, particularly those Vatican bank scandals. Now, those later crises did prompt newer reforms from popes like Benedict XVI and Pope Francis, which brings us to a really important question, I think. What lessons have actually been learned from all this financial turmoil, and how does that shape what's happening now?
That's a perfect point to transition, because now we need to talk about the current Pope Leo our sources focus on. They paint an interesting picture. Born into a modest family, long career in the clergy, came up through the ranks, parish priest to archbishop. seems to have a really solid grasp of church matters, the ecclesiastical side. But that's not all, is it?
No, not at all. What's really striking about this Popliu, according to the sources, is his practical experience with finance, alongside his theology. Apparently, early on, he served as an advisor to the Vatican's Financial Council. He was involved in assessing how resources were allocated, so that hands-on experience, plus he actually studied economics, specifically focusing on the intersection of ethics and finance. It gives him this unique blend, you know, spiritual understanding and practical financial know-how. And his philosophy seems clear. Finances aren't just numbers on a page. They should actively support the community, promote the mission globally, and transparency, accountability, those seem to be his watchwords, which really positions him as someone who could potentially drive major change.
Okay, so if we put the current policies under the microscope, what are the sources telling us is wrong? They keep coming back to transparency and accountability, or the lack thereof. They mention systemic inefficiencies and a profound lack of oversight. It sounds very fragmented, like different departments are just doing their own thing financially.
Yeah, and the consequences of that fragmentation are just, well, immense. Imagine like different divisions of a big company all using different accounting systems, not talking to each other. One handles investments, another charity, a third payroll, with no central overview. It's not just inefficient, it creates huge blind spots. Funds can get misallocated, opportunities missed, or things just sort of disappear from view. Our sources point to potential mismanagement, failure to meet global financial standards, and instability because they rely so much on donations, which go up and down. Yeah. Plus, there's no clear, unified budgeting process. Makes planning incredibly hard. And the lack of tough audits means problems just keep going unchecked. Sources even say overlapping jobs lead to, quote, duplication of efforts rather than streamlined processes. It definitely sounds like a system needing a complete rethink.
Right. This is where we get down to brass tacks then.
Yeah.
Given all that, what's Pope Leo actually proposing? What are the solutions on the table to fix this financial black hole?
Well, his plan, as described, seems to be a mix of things. It blends transparency reforms, stronger accountability, smarter investment strategies, and bringing in outside experts. So for transparency, the push is for standardized financial practices everywhere. Uniform rules, clearer reporting on income and spending. That's key to rebuilding trust. For accountability, a really big proposal mentioned is setting up a third-party audit committee. So an independent external group to really go through the books. On investments, the idea is diversified strategies that align with the church's moral teachings. So looking for ethical, sustainable, long-term returns, and using top financial experts to help manage that. And finally, collaboration. Really building strong ties with external financial professionals and institutions, you know, leveraging their expertise in today's complex markets.
And this isn't just something for the folks inside the Vatican walls to sort out, is it? The sources really highlight the global church community's role. How can they help?
Yeah, absolutely. This connects directly back to those core church ideas of stewardship, collective responsibility. The global community has a huge role to play. Collaboration, for instance, through energized fundraising charity drives, mission outreach can channel that collective energy towards financial health. But it's not just about writing checks. It's also about open communication. Transparent discussions about the Vatican's financial situation, how funds are actually used, that helps cultivate understanding and trust, as one source puts it. It ensures that the support actually translates into meaningful work that serves the mission. It really reinforces that shared accountability across the whole church.
It sounds like a really thought-through plan. But let's be realistic. Changing something this big, this old, it's bound to hit roadblocks, right?
Yeah.
What are the main challenges Pope Leo might run into?
Oh, for sure. Major reforms always face hurdles. The sources point to three main areas of potential opposition. First, internal resistance. You know, change inside any long-established institution, especially the Vatican, often meets pushback. Sources suggest some clergy, maybe lay people too, who perhaps benefited from the old way of doing things, the less scrutinized system, might resist changes that affect their interests or autonomy. Second, just the sheer systemic complexity. The Vatican's finances are described as this convoluted web built up over centuries. Assets, investments, holdings. Untangling all that needs huge expertise, but also immense political will. And one wrong move could theoretically destabilize things. And finally, you've got external factors, things outside the Vatican's direct control. Global economic downturns, shaky markets, changes in donor attitudes, these can all hit income hard. And public perception matters a lot, especially with that history of financial mismanagement and scandal. Rebuilding trust externally is a huge task. It really underlines why a transparent, inclusive approach is probably the only way to make this work.
So wrapping this up, what does this all mean for the Vatican and for you, our listener? watching this potentially unfold, it really feels like the Vatican's financial health is at a critical point, a real juncture. Pope Leo's reforms, if they actually take root and succeed, could genuinely change the financial landscape there, move it towards something sustainable with real accountability baked in.
Yeah, looking at the bigger picture, the success really hangs on the church's willingness, its actual capacity, to embrace pretty fundamental change, to institutionalize that accountability at every single level. If these efforts manage to resonate not just inside the Vatican, but across the global congregation too, well, it could lead to a much more secure financial footing. And that benefits everything, internal operations, sure, but also that crucial global mission outreach. Which leaves us with a question, maybe for you to ponder. How might the financial health, the integrity of an organization this vast, this globally influential, cutting across borders and cultures, how might that set a precedent, a standard perhaps for transparency and good stewardship and other complex, deeply rooted institutions around the world?